If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. We're going to be looking at the life of Moses. Then in a couple of weeks, we'll be looking at it again. Like sometimes doing character studies, and we can't do a lot of it just because of the schedule. As far as on the life of Moses, there's volumes that could be written on the life of Moses. But we're going to look at an idea this evening that hopefully will benefit us in the life of Moses. There was a young boy, it's a true story, his name was Jeremy. Jeremy wore inch-thick Coke bottle glasses. Some of you guys would remember that. And he had a perfect bowl haircut. Dr. Vogelin was talking about that a few weeks ago in his standards class, talking about tapered and block and bowl, and basically the understanding was if you have a bowl haircut, you're weird. No matter what standards you abide by, you're just weird. But he had a perfect bowl haircut, wore inch-thick Coke bottle glasses, and he knew the answers to everything. Yes, you know him, don't you? He was in your class. He was the teacher's pet, and this aggravated everybody. One day, though, his name was Jeremy, was gone for an unusual amount of time. And he showed up in class with a big grin on his face, and he was wearing a goofy-looking Mickey Mouse hat right over top of his bowl haircut. The teacher asked him where he had been. Now, that was kind of a dumb question. But he said, "I went to Disney World yesterday." He said excitingly, "Oh, really?" said the teacher. "Well, why don't you tell us, stand up and tell us about your trip." "Okay, well, I got to Disney World, and the first thing I saw was the parking lot. And that parking lot holds, I think, a million cars. And I got on a tram that carried me around the parking lot, and it came to a place, and it had these booths, and you bought tickets. So I got off and stood in line, and I bought a ticket. And right next to the ticket booth, I bought this cool-looking hat." The teacher looked and said, "And then what did you do, Jeremy?" "Well, I got back on the tram, and I rode around the parking lot some more, and that was fun. And I rode the tram all day." "All day," was the teacher's reply. "Did you go through the turnstiles or under the bridge?" The teacher knew a little bit about Disney World. "Did you go to Main Street, USA? Did you go to Adventureland and Fantasyland and Tomorrowland?" asked the teacher. And Jeremy just looked with his Coke bottle glasses and the bunny ear or the Mickey Mouse ears and said, "No. Was I supposed to?" Now, Jeremy missed out on something. All right, he missed out. He thought the joy was riding the tram. He was missing something. This evening, I hope that in our message that we will get the point. All right, we're going to start in Exodus chapter 3. We're going to be looking, we'll look back maybe a little bit at Exodus 2, but basically we're going to be looking at chapter 3 and chapter 4. Exodus chapter 3, it says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert." You've heard the term the backside of the desert, and that's where we're going to talk about this evening. We're going to talk about God's university. And God's university normally is on the backside of a desert. "And he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked." What I like about Moses here, notice he looked, "and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." And I like verse 3. "And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I." Heavenly Father, we would ask, as we look at this passage quickly this evening, give wisdom and guidance. Help us as we look at this idea, God's university. You would help us as sometimes you take us to school. Take us to the backside of a desert. We may not always understand what you're doing, but Lord, we do know that we can trust your plan. We thank you for that. I pray that in your class, in your school, we would adhere to the classes and the course requirements. Lord, that we would take the education that you have for us, and we'd learn of you, learn your ways. Well, I pray that this evening we'd be able to learn some things about God and how he works in our lives. And as always, Lord, I ask you to do what I can't, and that is to speak to hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here in this passage, notice two things. As we're talking about God's university, there are prerequisites for taking class with God. Notice, first of all, it's found in verse 4. It says, "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses." And notice what Moses said, "Here am I." When you're coming up to God's university and you want to take classes, it's a little bit different than the normal school. And in fact, Moses, if you know his life, Moses already had been to school. He had been to the finest educational facilities there in Egypt. I'm sure that the Pharaoh would have made sure that this son that he was raising up to take over, he would have made sure that Moses was educated. And I'm sure that he was taught in the greatest ways to ride a chariot. I'm sure he was taught in, you know, brick building 101, or maybe get some Israelites to build a pyramid. Maybe he was taught in embalming, because we know that there was embalming done for the Egyptians. Maybe he was taught in some of those things, but that wasn't God's school. At some point, God said, "You know what? You're going out into the backside of the wilderness, and I'm going to take you to my school. I'm going to take you to my school, and the Egyptian schooling, that worldly type of schooling, it's not good enough, because I want to take you through my classes." But he said, first of all, there's some requirements, prerequisites. What is it? There is commitment papers. Did you notice the commitment paper? Here Moses signed up and he said, "Here am I." He committed to God. And if you and I are going to be used of God, if we're going to go to God's university, this is what you have to be willing to do. You have to lay it on the line. You have to commit to God's way. And if you're not going to commit to God's way, then God's not going to put you through the schooling, and you're not going to be used of God. So we see a contract, a commitment papers. Then you notice also that there's a service agreement. Now notice in verse 1, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro." Then you notice in verse 11 and 12, it says, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Now, I never noticed this that much until I was studying this passage. And look at verse 12. "And he said, Certainly, I will be with thee. This shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee." But then notice, "When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." Notice all those years, the 40 years, God was training them. And when Moses threw up some questions, and in fact, in chapter 3 and 4, sometime look at it, you notice that Moses posed 5 questions to God. He posed 5 questions. Whereas before he had all the answers, now he has a bunch of questions. And these questions, he's saying to God, he's saying, "Hey, you know what? I don't understand this. Who am I?" That's in verse 1. "Who am I that I should go into Pharaoh?" And he says, "Hey, guess what? You've been serving," that's verse 1. "You've been keeping the flock of Jethro, your father-in-law, on the backside of the desert. And guess what? That's where I'm going to bring these people. So just where you've been serving, I'm going to bring the people back here, and you're going to be very familiar." And this is what sometimes we don't understand. A prerequisite of going to God's university and getting a degree is that you need to be doing something right now. Some of you, and this is a lot, you know, I'm thinking about the college that's starting up and here's going off to college. Then you say, you know what, I'm just going to sit back. I'm not going to do anything. And I'm just going to try to figure a few things out. And guess what? You're never going to find it in the Bible. You're going to see God picking people who are doing something. And sitting in this church when you're doing nothing and you're sitting back, normally that's the person that the devil comes in and he starts getting you to criticize, get you with bitterness, get you start mouthing off or gossiping about other people. But when you're serving, you don't have enough time for it. Because right now, some of you are serving and you're hoping that I get done really fast. Because you're tired. You're wore out. And you know what? God picks people who are presently serving. It's a prerequisite for getting a degree from God's university. But then let's look, that's some of the prerequisites. Look at some of the courses of study. The course of study, let's go back to chapter 2 and verse 13. And when this is talking about Moses, verse 11, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren. So this is his fellow brethren, the Hebrews. He looked on their burdens. He spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. He looked this way and that way. You know, you can see it cartoonish a little bit. He looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian, hit him in the sand. I don't know. It just seems like an odd thing to do. You know, digging a hole in the sand, just burying him. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to them that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? He's feeling good about himself. And he said, who? This is not Moses. This is the other fellow that he's talking to. His Israelite brother, the ones that he's trying to come in and rescue. And he says, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? You going to kill us? You going to kill us? You going to beat me up like you did the other guy? They don't know what he is. Then we go to chapter 3 and verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? Then we go to chapter 4 and verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. There's all kinds of debate on what that meant, what that means. And man, theologians down through the annals of history have debated on, was it a speech impediment? Was it this or that? I don't know what it was. But somehow, maybe it was that he had smooth speech when he was in Egypt. And by the time he was there in the backside of the desert and all he had to fellowship with was a bunch of sheep, that somehow all he came back and he was just like, bah, bah. And they're like, whoa, man, something's up with you. What's up, Moses? Bah. They're like, you know, Lord, something happened to me out there. Well, I don't know what his speech impediment was. But I know this, that now all of a sudden, on the backside of the desert, when he goes to school, the school that he had to learn was the school of dependence. Because there, when he was all filled with himself and filled with his own self-glory, man, he took that Egyptian, he snapped him in half, he was trained in maybe all the Egyptian martial arts, he could snap him all over the place and bury him. But then the next day, when he was feeling so full of himself, his own brethren said, get out of here. We don't want you. And he heads off, as we know, for about 40 years in the wilderness. And there in the wilderness, when God comes to him, and now he sees this burning bush and he looks and he says, man, you know what? Something's going on here. I'm going to turn and see. And God says, now he's ready. And he calls him and says, Moses, Moses, here am I. And then right away, he says, you know what? I can't. Who am I? Who am I to do this? And then he says, I can't speak. And God says, you know what? I think you've almost graduated. Because one of the courses that you're going to have to learn when you go to God's university and you want to be used of God is the school of dependence. And we have to go there often, I think. There are some times that maybe you're doing pretty good and this can go in our ministries, whether it's in a nursing home or whether it's in the area of soul winning, or maybe it's in the area of, in my case, in preaching, or maybe it's in sharing the gospel with folks or running a bus route, and maybe it's in Sunday school or junior church. And man, sometimes you just like, I got my A game on, man. Whoa, did I knock that one out? God's like, wait a minute. No. I might have to send you back to school. And every once in a while, we have to go back to school. And that school, most of us can remember going to school. It's not always fun. It's not always fun. I mean, I enjoyed school when it was, I can remember in elementary school, it was art class. Now, the one reason that I really enjoyed art class is that my teacher, we terrorized her. And so us and a bunch of friends, she was just not all there all the time. And so we were able to just have a good time. I can remember us bouncing, little kids, hold your ears. Right? I remember us bouncing bouncy balls off the chalkboard behind her and catching it. We'd play catch. And you'd say, oh, yep. Right? That's why my kids, they're so bad. All right, I'm getting paid back. All right, I can remember doing all kinds of things, and sometimes we actually did art. All right, and that was kind of fun. But art class, man, oh yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I can remember in high school walking into class, and there was a screen there. I'm like, yes, I'm into this class. I'm right there. Sometimes going to class day after day, note after note, outline after outline, quiz and test after quiz and test. Especially, now I don't even know if we allow this here. All right, but in our day, we had pop quizzes. Oh, my word. And it always, always came. I don't know how in the world the teacher knew it. You know, they didn't have like body cams and all that type of stuff back then. But somehow that teacher knew when all of us decided not to study. And that day we'd walk in, we're feeling pretty confident. Pop quiz. We're not confident anymore. And we'd have to go and we'd have to go back and we'd have to work really hard to get our grade back up. But you know what? Sometimes in school, there's some hard things. The school of dependence is hard. It goes against our flesh. It goes against the grain of our flesh because in my flesh, I think I can do anything. In my flesh, man, I can conquer. I can take it. But God wants me dependent upon Him. Moses had to go to school to learn that it is in his flesh. The work accomplished was nothing. During construction of Emerson Hall at Harvard University, the president invited two philosophers to help determine the inscription over the doorpost. After some reflection, there was a man named Jones. He sent the president a line from a Greek philosopher, Protagoras. And he said, you know what, I think this Greek philosopher, this should be the inscription. And it said, man is the measure of all things. The president never responded to this man's suggestion. The man wondered, and he wondered whatever became of the inscription over the hall. When it was uncovered, the president had taken a completely different idea. Right over top of Emerson Hall, the quote was, what is man that thou art mindful of him? It's the two extremes. The world, man, the measure of it all. And God, what is man that thou art mindful of him? the school of dependence. But then we notice in chapter 2 and verse 15, chapter 2 and verse 15, now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Look at verse 22. Look at, this is going to verse 21. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. But look at verse 22. And she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom. For he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. You know, that, as we said, there are some classes that are enjoyable in school. But then there are some, they're not that enjoyable, and that's this class. There's the school of dependence, but then there's the school of loneliness. Some of you, you've experienced it. Sometimes it's experienced by loss of a loved one. And there's just a hard time. There's grief there. And as I've told some people here, and as Dave Olson and I, we went, and that's why we had him teach some classes last fall. We recorded some of those classes because as we were looking at it and we were looking up what people have written, there's not much written in Independent Baptist movement, because when you lose somebody, I'm supposed to come to you and say, suck it up. Be a man. But you know what? In the Bible, you find a lot of sorrow. You find Job, who experienced sorrow of sorrows. You find even David, who was alone. He was just anointed king. And where does he find himself? Alone there in a cave. I thought I was supposed to be king, God. God's saying, hey, wait, you got to go to school. School of loneliness. It's not always fun. We find Daniel, and Daniel, man, here he is taken away from his parents. If we study it properly, he's taken away from his homeland. And yes, he did what was right, and he's raised up and made, he's put in charge of different things. But don't you think that he missed his homeland? Don't you think he missed his family? I think he did. And he's trying to do what's right. He's trying to pray like he should, three times a day, with his windows open. And guess what happens? The school of loneliness. People are following him and trying to catch him. And he finds himself, because he's praying, in the den of lions, alone. Remember, it was at night when he's dropped in there. And what some of you will find is that your desire is to be used of God. And you sign up and you say, God, here am I. Use me. And then all of a sudden, God sends you to the school of dependence. And you're like, wait a minute, God, this isn't what I signed up for. Do you want to graduate? Go to his classes. And the school of dependence, it's not always easy, because all of a sudden you're going to find out that in your flesh, man, in your own strength, you can't do it. That's what God wants. And then you're going to find sometimes there's nobody. You know, we say the song, I'm thinking of Mr. Tom, nobody knows. All right? We can sing it out. We can have a little special here. Nobody knows. But it actually happens. And you know what, some of you, you say, who can I go to? You know who. It's only one person. And it's God. And you're not going to find God with your radio on. You're not going to find God with all the busyness around you. What you're going to have to do is set aside a large portion of time. And that's what I was asking even the bus workers on Saturday. It amazes me that the average Christian, and probably sitting here, most have never spent 1 hour alone with God. It's because we're not willing to get his diploma. You're not going to be used of God unless you take his classes.
And how can you say that you know God and you won't spend time with Him? You know, loneliness and dependence, the people that we read and revere through history, that's what they learned. As even this afternoon, you know, G. Campbell Morgan, he was one of the greatest preachers, I think it would be in the 1940s, 50s and 60s there in London. Great preacher. Unbelievable crowds. But you know what? He had to hire a physician because he had intense headaches. And that physician had to work his neck before every time coming out to preach. I don't know that I want that. I don't know that I really want to have that. You know that Spurgeon. Spurgeon normally had to go away in January, and sometimes he would go away for 2 to 3 months every year because of sickness and illness. Because he couldn't survive. So he had to go down south, and he had a place in Italy that he stayed for months in order to survive just the months coming up of preaching. You know what? We don't really think about that. It's the school of loneliness. School of loneliness. And what we have to understand is God gets us to the point where He says, just come unto me. I'm teaching that to our college. And in college, in Matthew chapter 20 or Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, 29 and 30. What does the Bible tell us? It tells us that there's noise everywhere. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. On Thursday, I was teaching them that those two words, the word heavy and labor, give the idea of beaten down and burdened down. It's the idea of a ship that has a storm coming and it's just beating it down. And then in the ship, it's weighted down. And the Bible says, you're going to have times that you're beaten down and you're burdened down. But He gives the solution. Come unto me. And I'll give you rest. But you're not going to find rest when there's so much noise around you that God can't speak. Often, like Elijah, it's the still small voice. With Samuel, he's asleep and he hears God's call. It's just a quiet call. It's not always a loud call. But you have to be willing, if you're going to be used of God, in His university to take His classes. What's the classes? The school of dependence, the school of loneliness. And then this last one is similar, and we only have time to cover this one. It's the school of lowliness. Lowliness. Very similar. So let's compare the two Moses. Moses was full of self-confidence. I'm going to take my brethren and save them. But then we come to chapter 3 and chapter 4 and we find a man full of self-doubt. And chapter 2, it was, don't you know who I am? Then you see that? Don't you know who I am? And in chapter 3, he says to God, who am I? In chapter 2, he had all the answers. In chapter 3 and 4, he has all questions. 5 of them. In chapter 2, he thought he would conquer. And in chapter 3 and 4, he believes he will be conquered. In chapter 2, he was willing, but he wasn't ready. And in chapter 3 and 4, he is ready. But now, God has to get him willing. Loneliness. It's not easy. And sometimes we have to be taken back to the classes. But what's amazing is, look at chapter 3 and verse 12. It says, and he said, certainly
I will be with thee. I will be with thee. Then let's look at chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth. When you go to God's university and you take His classes, you get a graduation bonus. What's the bonus? In this passage, you see that you get His presence. You get His presence. Did you notice what He said? I'll be with thee. Then in chapter 4 and verse 2, notice what He says. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. That rod, we've talked about that before. In the ancient times, we looked at it when we looked at that phrase of either last summer or the summer before. We looked at some of the names of God. And one of the names of God is Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. And if you study that time period, a lot of the armies would have a person that would have a rod. And if you go to the Roman times, you could even see that they carried it on up to the Roman times. And there would be somebody, the Romans, I think, had a huge eagle, a gold eagle that would, and somebody would march before, and that was the banner that showed the power that was there. They have the power of the Roman Caesar. And Moses was told that rod. And then he was told to throw it down and pick it up and different things like that. That was a representation of God's power. So the graduation bonus, it's not only God's presence, but you also get His power. Now you're not going to get it if you don't go to school. And you're not going to get it if you don't go to class, and you're not studious in class, and you don't knuckle yourself under and say, I'm going to learn the lessons that God has for me. I'm not going to whine. You've been to class with some people. All they do is whine. Like, it's so hard. I got to read. Oh, really? All right, I was thinking that I was going to go to school and they were just going to march me across in 4 years and I'd do nothing. Nope, it ain't going to happen. You go to school, and I want to try to accomplish something. I want to do something for God. And God says, wait a minute. I got classes, though, in my school. Dependence. Loneliness. Lowliness. All of those are necessary. Oh, there's other classes, I think. But I think those kind of highlight here with the life of Moses. But Moses, once he came through, and it's not always on your timetable. Know that. Moses, I'm sure that he thought, wait a minute, God, I'm not ready, but I can go out to the backside of the desert. I'll take care of these sheep. And 40 years later, hello. Hey, I've been doing term papers. I've been cashing them in. I mean, can't we do long distance? Can't we do online? Nope, God says, I'll know when you're ready. And Moses, it seems like he's just there doing his business, doing his serving. And he walks by and he sees a bush. And it's just odd because it's burning, but it's not consumed. I think that God was trying to get a hold of Moses because that bush there, it wasn't anything to write home about. I mean, as far as a little bush, a scrawny little bush. But I think he was teaching Moses a point. And the point was that scrawny little bush, I can make that bush on fire. And you and I, scrawny little you and me, God can light us up. God can light us up and He can use us. And everybody will be like, whoa, man, what's going on? It's only God. Because ultimately, this is what you find. Moses learned something right away. And you see this as a pattern through his life. Moses, this is what he learned, I think, one of the main lessons he learned in school. And that was, when I'm having a problem, go see God.
And you notice all the time, he's like, man, you know what? These guys are irritating me. I'm going up into the mountain. I just want to see your glory.
And he did.
You know what? These people are irritating me. I'm going and finding God again.
And he did. Over and over and over. And I understand Moses had his flaws. Moses had his issues. But I can tell you this. I don't know how in the world you would keep a couple million people happy. Holy catfish. I mean, we can't keep a few hundred happy. Why? I mean, can you imagine a couple million? And you're in charge of everything. Food, water, clothing. I'd be up in the mountain too. Help me!
But you know what he always was looking for God's glory.
And God showed it to him. And this is what I ask you. Are you willing to do it God's way? God's way is different. Remember, Moses had his training back in Egypt. I think he probably had very good training. I don't think it entailed feeding or getting 2 million people drinking water. All right, I'm thinking that the Pharaoh didn't teach him that one. All right, I'm thinking the Pharaoh didn't teach him how to split a Red Sea. All right, there's a few things that God had to teach him. All right, hey, when you come up to the Red Sea, this is what you do. All right, hey, when the people are griping, this is what you do. Hey, when there's not enough food, this is how we're going to do the manna thing. Well, God had it figured out and he wanted to teach him. But he had to learn to go to God's schooling, God's way. God would bless him. There was news cameras many years ago in southern Florida. They were filming the destruction of Hurricane Andrew. In one scene, there was devastation, there was debris, and there was one house that was standing. I mean, devastation, debris everywhere, and here they're panning. Here's one house. The owner was cleaning up his yard, just kind of brooming it up there. He's the only house in the blocks. And the reporter came up, sir, why is your house the only one still standing? How did you manage to escape the severe damage of the hurricane? This was his answer. He said, well, I built my house according to the Florida State Building Code. When the code called for 2x6 roof trusses, that's what I used. He said, they told me that this type of house could withstand a hurricane. And then he said, I suppose no one else here followed the code. If you want the joy of graduating from God's school, then take his classes. You will get the joy. The graduation bonus, presence and power, you can have it. But go to his school. Oh, there are counterfeits out there. Man, there are paper mills. They're God, or are they? Supposedly, they have it in quotes. Man, very close. Jehovah's school. But be careful. Because you will not get the graduation bonus. And when the storm comes, your house won't last.